quickly, let's start our prayer meeting. I always like us to start with the confession of the Word of God after reading a portion of the Scriptures. The one I want us to read today is one that every child that has been to church knows, Psalm 23. Quickly open to it. Let's start with that. Can you rise to your feet if you don't mind? Let's together read it with a robust voice. So verse 1, 1, 2, go.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Verse 3, restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Let's read verse 6 one more time. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. That's the confession, amen? It's a confession, isn't it? That's what it is. We're just declaring it that the Lord is our shepherd. What does it mean to be a shepherd? It's the one that leads. That's what it means. And I said to you before, the way the Lord leads, there are different ways. But the basic way by which he leads is to instruct you in the way by which you should go as general principles of life. It's not that every day he has to whisper for you when to wake up or when to sleep. When the occasion would deserve it, he will do that. But generally, what he does is to teach you the way in which you should walk. And when you walk in it, you are following him. And that means he's your shepherd. And the consequence of following the will of God like that for your life is that you shall not want. Say it again, I shall not want. I shall not want.
Say it again, I shall not want.
I shall not want.
No matter the difficulties outside.
No matter the difficulties.
Yeah, say it like, say, no matter what the difficulty might be outside.
No matter what the difficulty might be outside.
Despite that, I shall not want.
I shall not want.
When I know nobody.
When I know nobody.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
When things are hard.
When
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
No matter what it is,
no matter what it is,
as long as the Lord is my shepherd,
as long as the Lord is my shepherd,
this is my confidence.
This is my confidence.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
All right, the Lord is good.
All
I said the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Let me quickly get into the teaching for today. That portion of the scriptures, that's the whole of the Psalms, is our confession. As we read it, that was a confession of the Word of God. No need to say anything further than that. All right. If you're happy, say amen.
Amen.
Let's continue from where we were last time. I'm hoping that I will be able to complete it. This will be a continuation of last week's message. We're concluding what we have been saying about how to deal with the devil in your life. And then let's read the two scriptures that we read last time. All right, the book of Luke chapter 4. Let's start with that. The temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read from verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And these are the temptations. That was the first one. And the devil said, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. In verse 8, Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. Now, we read this last time and we explained some things about it. Let me just read the second one and then we pick up from there. I have two more to read, actually. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. He says, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said in verse 16, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. Please notice that the arrow, the wicked one is firing flaming arrows at us. He said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I say, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that all trouble be given to me and all of that. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. All right, quickly, one more, please. I want to read this, and I start saying the things I want to say for today. The book of Isaiah chapter 8. This one is very, very, very important. Of course, all of them are important. Well, I quote this once in a while, but we're not open to read it. It's a long one. Let's start from verse 9. I like to just, my Bible breaks them into segments, so I like to take the segment fully, but I'll rush here and there and settle down on the important verses that are relevant to our teaching. He said, be broken, verse 9, be broken, O peoples, and be shattered, and give ear, O remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, and it will be thwarted. State a proposal, and it will not stand, for God is with us. Now, please, this is a very important thing, word to declare over your life. Don't worry about you. As we go on, we'll see it. Christianity is a life. The way you live your life is not the way you respond to crisis. Are you getting my point? It's the way you live life all the time. You must have a mindset, all right? I see people all the time so focused on their enemies. Look, there are words that God, all right, gave to us to use to tackle that. This is it. He said, God is with me. Any plan that's against me will not stand. That's what he's saying. But let me go on to the main thing I want to bring out. Verse 11 says, for thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of these people, saying, that is, God said to me, very important, there is a way I wanted to walk, and it's different from the way these people are walking. Like I was saying a moment ago, Christianity is how you walk. He said to me with a mighty hand, verse 12, you are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that these people call a conspiracy. And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. And it shall be your fear and it shall be your dread. Then it shall become a sanctuary, but to both the houses of Israel, that is those who are walking in iniquity, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over. Now, this was what God said to Isaiah, his prophet, his servant. He said, to them, the houses of Israel, he will be a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He now said to them in verse 16, he said to Isaiah in verse 16, he said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. In verse 17, he says, and I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. When they say to you, verse 19, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter. He says, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? He said, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. That is where I want to stop. That's actually the main reason why I read all of this. He said, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn or they have no light. The Lord is good. If you believe it, please say amen again.
Amen.
All right, let's teach. We have been talking about how to handle the devil in your life. Remember, we said the devil doesn't have the kind of power people often talk about him as if he has. Whether you pray about the witch or not, he or she, they are he witches, right? No. That's me. We used to mean when we were young. We said the male ones were wizards and the female ones were witches. In the story of witchcraft, there are two groups of people. You understand my point? Yes, the witches are different from the wizards. And amongst the witches, they have male ones also. All right? So whether it's a he or it's a she, it is irrelevant. Whether you pray about them specifically or you don't, they can't do anything about you. That's just the truth. They can't do anything against you. They can't. They are not worthy of your all-night prayer sessions. It's very crucial we keep on saying these things because we are talking from an African background. And you have to speak words that are relevant to people. They can't. Look, they can't. Do they exist? I think they do. Don't let me say I think. I know they do. Do you understand? But as far as I am concerned, that is relative to my life, you know, they don't exist. Because if on Mars you found water in one brook on Mars, how does that concern me? Do you get my point? So that's how it is. So maybe they live, maybe they are existing somewhere, but as far as my life is concerned, it's irrelevant. Why? Literally, because my life is hid, like King James says, with Christ in God. Because I'm seated far above the realm in which they operate. That's the simple thing about it. This is not a prayer matter. This is information matter. You understand what I'm trying to explain?
Yes, sir.
That's how it is. So, this is what we would now say, what do we want to do with the devil concerning? If you don't know, I mean, when you want to protect your house against water, you don't lock your doors. Is that what you do? Think about it for a moment. You put burglar proofs, strong metal iron, and lock with strong keys when you want to prevent your house from being flooded. You don't do that. If you want to prevent thieves from entering into your house, you get plenty fire extinguishers. You give fire extinguishers to your security men. Have you ever seen policemen carry fire extinguishers around? On their belts, they're walking around. So if it's a half hour, I'm going to extinguish a thief today. One criminal is coming, I'm going to extinguish him. No. You arm yourself according to the purpose of your enemy. I don't know what I heard I said.
Yes.
The method he's using. That's how you arm yourself. That's how you protect yourself. If you want to prevent your house from being flooded, you make sure there's good drainage around your house. When the house is being built, you elevate it slightly above the surrounding level, the grounds, you understand? Slightly above. You make sure there's drainage. You lock your taps. You do things like that. Because that's the method by which water destroys things. And water doesn't want to steal anything and carry it away, really. It wants to soak something. So, for water, it's drainage. For burglars, you prevent entry. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why you use, very common in Nigeria here, burglar proofs. Countries where they don't do things like that, they use alarms. You understand? The house is wired to one alarm that goes off. The thief doesn't even hear it, and the policeman is at the gate. So if you don't know the method the devil uses or what he's looking for, you defend yourself wrongly. You understand my point? That's what a lot of people do. They don't know what he's looking for. They don't know the method he uses. So you find a lot of people, they go for prayer meetings. They'll go and meet one specialist prophet that will deliver their families from their troubles. And when they are going, their girlfriend, this man is married though. His girlfriend escorts him and waits outside in the car. I don't know whether you get that point. Yet he goes into the house of the prophet. He kneels down. He gives an offering. And he receives all kinds of prophetic words against his problems. And the devil likes that. He loves it. Why? Because there is no effect. The man is walking in sin. He's arming the devil every day against himself. And then he's praying against him. He has made a mistake concerning the operation of the devil. He's buying fire extinguishers, all right, to quench, to prevent flooding in his house or to prevent burglars from entering the house. What has fire extinguishers got to do with a burglar? That's what the problem is. People think the devil has a kind of power, you know, they talk about, and that what you need to do is fight that power. They don't know the fellow is more subtle than any other thing. He's not brazen in his attack, he's subtle. And the primary thing we discussed extensively last time, okay, is that he wants to steal our faith. That's just it. He's not trying to steal your money. What he wants to steal is what? Faith. Faith. Whom resist, we read at the beginning, steadfast in faith. Resisting the devil is steadfastness of faith. I emphasized before that Abraham did not know somebody like him existed, and God didn't bother to educate Abraham or Isaac or Jacob on the personality of Satan. It was irrelevant. As long as they walked with him and obeyed him, Satan was inconsequential in their lives. So he spent the energy teaching them about the ways of God. And like I said at the beginning today, that Christianity is how you live your life. It's a walk. It's a walk. It's a walk. It's a walk. And the walk the way it manifests, or the way it's to run in our lives, is that God has given words. Like we're reading from the book of Isaiah just now. He said, the Lord instructed me with mighty power. If you have a King James, he said, with a strong hand. And what did he say? Don't walk in the way of these people. That is, everything God said to him is summarized like this. The Lord spoke to me with mighty power and instructed me with not to walk in the way of these people. So he said that. So everything the Lord said to him, you are not to call a conspiracy. What do we call a conspiracy? Don't fear their fear. All those in the summary of it, he said, is in verse 11. Do not walk in the way of these people. That is the summary of everything. Don't call what they call a conspiracy. Make sure the Lord alone is the person you fear. He's the only one you regard as holy. You understand all those things. It's summarized in one sentence. Don't walk in the way of these people. And that's what Christianity is. How we walk. How we relate with things. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Now, so these are the things we have been saying. All right. The devil wants to take us out of the Christian walk. The way we walk with the word of God as a foundation. He wants us to walk in the way of the people. The reason is simple. That is the only time he has power. That is the only time he has power. The only time he has power is when we change the way we walk. Let me just say something to us, all right, quickly, as believers. He said, let me just refer to some things, verse 13. It is the Lord alone you will regard as holy. He alone will be your fear. He alone will be your dread. Do not fear what they fear, and don't be in dread of it. That's the reason why I read that. It is very important in life that everything you do in your life is not according to the pattern of the world. Now, it sounds like a simple statement, but we do it every day. It's very, very important. When Paul, in fact, this is what Paul is referring to when he said that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do I mean? If in your village a successful man is judged by the height of his car, are you getting my point? You know, I keep on saying this thing. And I know it's the Holy Spirit that's leading me to say it. Then, it is time to buy a bicycle. Did you hear what I said? He said, don't fear what they fear. The summary of it is this. You must have a different set of standards. This is one thing I say all the time. I discover with Christians. And a lot of us, well, not a lot of us, most of us preachers are the guilty parties. We are the ones that cause the problem. You see all the time, people gather for programs, they are praying, you understand? They are giving, they are sowing seeds, they are interceding, so that God will do for what he has done, will do for them what he has done for the unbeliever. Are you getting my point? That is, the standard is the same. This is my year of victory. It's my year of success. Why? Because the people said, if by this age I have not built a house in the village, I'm a failure. So, now, who said so? Who said so? Who said so? It's not God. The people said, if by this particular point in my life I have not built a house, I'm a failure. Therefore, I am praying and fasting and sowing seeds so as to satisfy what the people said. That is called fearing their fear. That is how we walk in the world. That's how we walk in the way of the world. You know, today I was discussing with somebody, you know, something led to it. We just chat, you know, just free chat in my office. And I was asking something. You know me enough here. I'm one person that preach all the time, never criticize a man who's flying a private jet. Why? He's going to private places and he can afford it. He needs private time. He has to save the time. Do I have money to buy a private jet? Yes, amen. Praise God. Just I don't need it yet. Yes. Yeah, laugh both literally and laugh spiritually. Yeah, both laughter. You know, it's allowed because Isaac, his name of Isaac is laughter. So you can laugh because you believe it. You can laugh because it's funny. You're allowed to do both of them. No, I shouldn't be saying that I don't have money. What do I mean I don't have money? If I need it, God will bring the money. If I need it, he will bring the money. The only reason why we don't have it yet is because, the whole of this year, we left Enugu to go for how many times? Very few times. That's the main reason. If we need it, it will come. There is nothing you need that God will not give to you. Say amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's a matter of fact. All right? So you know my attitude about that. But at the same time, if I was telling my brethren, I said, if I need it, I will buy myself a private jet. I said, but I don't believe I'll ever buy myself a Rolex. Yes, a Rolex watch. Omega chronometer, what they call it. We want master. I said, I will never buy. You know why? Because I've done a lot of research. Now I'm going somewhere, please. You'll see what I'm saying in a moment. I said simply, that is my logic. Luxury is not a bad thing. Let me give you my definition of luxury. Luxury, I want to quickly summarize so I can get back to my message. Let me hasten up my talk. Luxury is that little extra you get for great cost. This extra you can do without, but if you have it, life will be sweeter and more enjoyable, and maybe even more efficient. Do you understand that? But that little extra, it comes at great cost, but it will come at great cost. What I mean is this. There's no other way to get it. Luxury, let me see. I didn't read it anywhere. In fact, I think Revelation. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. No, Revelation. Listen to how I said it. Luxury is that little extra that comes at a lot of cost. Money cost now, all right? But if you have it, it makes life more enjoyable and makes you more efficient. But you can do without it. Do you understand that? But it always comes at that extra cost. I could fly to the U.S., sit in an economy class, you understand, and enjoy myself. You know, get there in 12 hours, all right? Depending on which part you are going. Just a 12-hour flight. I could do that. But I could also do that flying first class. Do you get my point? In both situations, I'll get to the place at the same time. Now, the first class ticket is four times the cost of an economy class ticket. But for that, you get to sleep. Do you get, you understand what I'm saying? For that, you get to eat what you want when you want it. For that, you get, if everybody's getting 2 bags of 23 kg each, you probably get 4 bags of 100 kg. Maybe, you understand? For that, you don't queue in line anywhere. Somebody comes to collect your bag from down, goes to check it in. These are little things that if you don't get them, you won't die. You still get to where you are going, right? Yes. But if you do have them, you know the Lord is good. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? But that little extra comes at a great extra cost. Last time my wife and I were coming back from the U.S., about 2 or 3 hours before we landed in Lagos, I told her the greatest need of my life right now is to lie down. I was tired of sitting straight. By that time, I sat straight for like 9 hours. And the greatest desire of my life was to lie down. But bros was in economy class. There was no lying down there. I remember I told my wife, when I have the money, I'm not flying here again. No, there's no things you can say. You can use the money for better things. I'll still do better things. We'll do all of it. I don't know why. You know, I was talking to one of my colleagues today. You know, we're talking. He said that, just part of the chat. I said, look, I want to buy this kind of car. I just told him. He said, why do you want the car? And he said, go and build a house. I said, stop here, stop. I stopped him. I said, in my life, things are not mutually exclusive. It is not the deal whether either I build a house or I buy a car. I told him something I did recently and the things I did along the way. I said, as a law, my normal life must not stop because something is being done. So you go and say, please, uncle, please, can you help me? I want to go to school. I need money for a project. Hey, you know I'm building a house. You are not blessed if you talk like that. Your cousin needs money to do something. You say, because you are building a house, you can't help him. That house, you are building it before it's time. So if I sell it, just sell it. Sell it the way it is and buy your freedom in Jesus' name. Just buy your freedom. Buy your freedom. You understand my point? No, it's important. All right? I'm trying to sit on my message. Father God, please help me. Now, so I'm going somewhere with all of these things. So I told that, let me get back to our first discussion I was telling you about. So I told the person I was discussing with in the office, I said, that is why I am not going to buy a Rolex. Do you know my reason? It's simple. I have checked. If I buy a quartz watch, all right, for $100, okay, and you give me a Rolex of $4,000, my $100 quartz watch is more reliable than the $4,000 Rolex. Yes, the $4,000 Rolex is made of surgical-grade stainless steel. I can get a good quality watch of surgical-grade stainless steel for $150. I have reasoned it to the front, to the back, left, right, and center. I have not seen the little extra that is being given to me for the much extra money I have to pay. Even if I'm a billionaire and buy, even though I will willingly fly first class. Because that's why I told the whole story. Because I can identify the little extra that I am getting. Now, this person in question now told me something. He said, no, I'm going somewhere. That's why I told the whole talk. He said, no, that life is not like that. There are things you just do when you have reached a stage to show that you're in a particular class. That's why I told this whole, this is my long story. Anyway, I'm a teacher. By the time I'm finished, you will have understood what I was saying. But the story is long. Even me, I'm tired to hear it. He said, so that you will know. He said, there will be in a particular class. I said, I tried to explain. After a while, what you are saying is that just to show me the particular class, I'll do certain things. We're talking about cars and something like that. He said, yes, now, after you have labored, so you know you belong to a particular class. I said, all right, I understand. In my mind, I said, okay, we obviously are thinking at two different frequencies. You know, one of the wisdom that God gave me in the last many years is for me to be able to identify your frequency in life and know whether it's the same as mine. If it's not, I leave you there. If you're on the same sick frequency, I will argue with you, trying to realign you to what is right and what is wrong. Let's get it clear. But when we're not on the same frequency, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm talking about not to walk in the way of these people. Forget whether one person is one way, another person another way. That is an ungodly way of reasoning. It's not just a matter of you don't like it, I like it. No. There are reasoning patterns that are ungodly. A Christian is not allowed to do anything. You are not allowed to do anything because you want to show that you belong to a particular class. My brethren and I were discussing the other day. Somebody said along the line, you were talking about, this private jet thing, you know, there's a lot of discussion in Nigeria these days. So we're talking about it again. So I would like, just one of the things I've explained now, we're talking about function and use, and being able to distinguish between purpose, but what I call it is bling, you know. There's a difference between purpose and, no, I said, it's either a tool Or it's a blink. You know what they call it, blink? Yeah, blink. Just show off. You know, just show that I'm there, you know?